Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Something wrong?
I couldn't hear anything in my headphones. Now I can.
Yeah, mine are good.
Okay, cool. That's what I was going to ask. Over there, set.
Tom, I will ask you some of the same kind of standard questions.
That's appropriate.
Yeah.
Matt, you're pretty jacked. I didn't realize how jacked you were because you had sleeves on last time we were here.
Oh, thanks, dude. Yeah, I'm a personal trainer, so, you know, living at a gym, you can just, like, get pull-ups in and, you know, the rest of the time I'm just kind of doing whatever. But, yeah, I think it's just, like, the little things. At this point, like, I don't train like I did in my early 20s where I'm just in there all the time. It's just, like, I'm too damn busy, so it's just easy to stay efficient because I spend 6 hours a day at a gym.
Train like an amoeba.
Yeah, exactly.
Just osmosis the muscle.
Yeah.
Dude, how about today, Castle came in, he was all fired up, and he's like, you can't post anything on Facebook. So Matt, right? So, right, he just told you he's a trainer, so he'll just post stuff, right? So like one of the blogs, Castle reposted it, was literally just said, hey, here's three like tips if you like overeat at the holidays or whatever, right? It didn't say like, hey, fatty, you're overeating. And, like, this person, like, was like, I can't believe KSW is, like, body shaming. And then Castle's like, if you met Matt, like, the farthest thing he would ever do is, like, he's an actual trainer and, like, he's very positive. He's like, look, dude, like, he's just putting this info here. If you want to use
it, I really like turkey. Please don't body shame me.
Yeah, like, if you don't want to eat, if you want to eat the normal way you eat, go ahead.
I always pick my words very carefully because I understand it's a blog on a rock radio station's website. People may not be coming to it for nutrition, like, action or being told what to do. So I just give information and, like, in the video, I think I said, like, so if you identify that it's psychological hunger and not real physical hunger, you could not eat then and be just fine. I'm just letting you know. Like, that's how I say it because it's not like you shouldn't eat then. They don't eat that. But yeah.
If you're
like,
not hungry, you don't have to eat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're just not obligated.
Friendly reminder.
Listen, you fat bitch, don't eat that turkey.
Right? Today, you are listening to a podcast. This isn't just any podcast. Just any podcast couldn't do this. Or this. What the? This is the podcast. Starring the Ted's. Starring the Ted. Starring the Ted Smith and Cobb. Ha-ha! The podcast starts. You better wear a helmet now.
Woo! The podcast, episode 242. What's up with your boy, the Ted Smith? I'll be hosting this here podcast, greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
To the left of me, actually, he's right there on the right of me. He's always here unless he's somewhere in Southeast Asia on two wheels. He goes by the name of Cobb. Cobb, what's going on?
Cheers to the podcast. Wowing Wall Street this morning as EBITDA climbed to record highs on better than expected international downloads and a major showing at the annual podcast party. Are the boys headed for a big 2019 or will winter rule its ugly head? We'll learn more at 7:30.
I think we'll be all right this winter, but today sucked, man. It was a dark day.
Yeah.
All right, back on the Wheels of Steel, get the studio all set up, untangling all the messes.
Jesus Christ.
Matt Comer, the producer, MCTP. What's up, Matt?
Those headphones were giving me hell before the show, but we got them. They're on Cobb's lovely head now, and we're good to go.
We have our old buddy in here, Talon Hammonds again. Talon's fighting this weekend down at Cage Sport MMA. That again, Saturday, doors at 6, fights start at 7. Again, be in there early. You want to be there right at 7 because, hey, that's when I walk down the ramp.
Yeah, and good luck getting parked, so.
Yeah, right? Yeah. It's going to take you a second.
You want to show up on time.
So we got those fights coming up this weekend. We'll talk a little more about that. First, I just want to start with a huge thank you to everybody that came out to the podcast party this past weekend. Also, hey, shout out to the forum, man. That food was delicious.
Yeah.
The food was great. That was our biggest event ever, I would say.
Yeah, I feel pretty confident. Like, I think
a lot of folks there.
I think we might have had one bigger because it was us and the MIGS cast.
Oh, you're talking about the laser one?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
But for a Saturday afternoon, that was great, man.
Dude, it was awesome. Matt was talking to me outside about how, like, I don't know, how warm everyone was and how, like, there were so many stories of people changing stuff about themselves because of the cast.
Yeah, who was the rip dude we were talking to?
Oh, Christian?
Yeah.
Dude, that guy walked in and I was like, that guy is fucking shredded. And then he like came up and I think he said he lost like 40, 50 pounds, like, and then got shredded and just looked like that. And yeah, I had no idea that the podcast had like an influence on it, but it was literally like, I saw him come in and he's like got a thin frame, but he's got like really vascular and good muscle definition, like popping out of under his Sounders shirt. And I was like, wow, I thought he was a guy that was like a lifetime, like skinny dude, has a tough time putting on muscle mass and is like starting to get it. Right. But it was like, no, you actually like lost a bunch of weight before that too. It just was awesome to hear.
Yeah, it was. And I'd like same thing, right? You know, sometimes you just look at some people and they just look fitter. Mm-hmm. So you could tell everybody's like working out or whatever, but like, right, he was just wearing a t-shirt and he already looked fitter than most of the people in the room. So when he was just like, is Matt here? I got to tell him he helped. I was like, oh, no shit.
Yeah, that was super cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. There was another guy from, the guy you're talking about didn't have glasses, did he?
I think he did.
Long sleeve shirt?
Short sleeve.
Okay, so there's a guy with a long sleeve shirt, glasses from the South End, also lost like 43 pounds, I think.
Really?
Yeah. Oh.
Diligence, man. It's been a big 2018 for people.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Dude, true.
Right?
Yeah.
And I know we came up with that one a while ago, but damn.
That is awesome. That's got to be like really cool that that you get to hear the podcast actually had an effect on that.
Oh, totally.
Like, yeah, sometimes when we're in here, you kind of forget that people are listening, you know? And like, I think that helps sometimes because it feels like, you know, just BSing with Ted and Matt. But yeah, it does have some effect out there, some ripple on effect.
Yeah. What else? Dom, thanks for the squatty potty. I put it to use this week.
Thanks for
the
sweet.
Those things are f***ing amazing.
And for making the drive.
Talon, you're on the squatty potty train?
Yeah.
Nice.
If I don't have one, I will. I'll do it myself. I'll get myself in a position in the proper way because I got used to it. And yeah.
In the proper way. Can I ask you this? How do you actually, like, all right, where are your shoulders when you have the squatty potty down? Because I've been having some issues.
I think I'm rounded. My shoulders are rounded.
Are your elbows, like, basically between your... we're getting way off subject here.
Between your knees.
Are we talking about the height of the spot?
Yeah,
the squatty potty?
I'm talking about, like, the position. Like, what's the goal?
I mean...
You know those Chinese statues of, like, the squatting dragons or squatting dogs?
Where they, like, have the hands together like this?
Yeah, but their chest is forward and their hind end is really down, their knees are up, like, and their hands are either, like you said, like that, or sort of on their legs.
Are you hovering? The way you're doing this, it feels like you're hovering.
You talk about, like, people, yeah. Or, like, sometimes I've seen people squat down to eat like that.
You're in a position that mimics if you were hovering, but you're actually on the seat. Like, okay, if you were trying
to... you gotta touch the booty down.
So your elbows are inside of your knees or outside of your knees?
On.
I feel like mine are like on my knees when I use it.
Yeah, right on there.
It might just be the length of your legs.
Yeah, I think there's some issues.
All right.
Let's move along.
All right. Dom, thanks for the sweets, the making the drive, and everybody that made the drive out there.
Man, that was so cool.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of cool people there.
I always love those events.
Yeah, super fun time. That bar, the bar was great. I feel bad doing this from a Talon, but like, man, those little mini sliders were freaking delicious.
Dude, the taquito things were good. Yeah. Well, and that's the thing too that people should know, man. Is like, you know, we do this podcast for free, so like, that's the payoff for us, as far as I'm concerned. That, and it's fun as hell to do, but you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, it's awesome.
Yeah, it was a great time. So thanks for everybody who came out there. What else was I going to say about that? Nothing. I mean, I just, you know, we say it all the time. I just can't explain how much it means to us and everybody that paid attention to the podcast, or it's had a change on your life. I mean, that's even better, right?
Well, that's what's so crazy to me is, like, that's a group of people that have listened to this enough to actually, like, come out on a Saturday afternoon and say what's up to us. But, yeah. Like, you don't do that after one episode.
No.
I don't think so.
No,
I don't know.
They're deep in the game with us, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's rad.
I know how we roll.
Yeah, and thanks for everybody being cool with the bartenders and the waitress and stuff and take care of them.
I asked the bartender after. She said everyone was great.
Yeah, that's the same thing. She was like, no, everybody's super cool and, you know, paid their tabs and stuff. And thanks for everybody for paying the tabs all the time, too. Once I rounded that up, we got them out.
I think I was the last one. You're like, damn it, Matt. I was like, whoa, I didn't realize.
Well, Talon, it's one of those funny things, right? So, like, people get there and we're a little late getting into, like, this back room. And then
we had to displace a sit and sip class.
It was a paint class.
Paint and sip class. Yeah.
Yeah. So then they bring out all this food, and I realized, like, nobody's going to touch the food. So I was like, I'll eat first, and people start eating. And then at the end, the dude was like, you can stay till 9, but at 9, beer pong starts. Just try to be out of there. And I tried, like, 5 times, and finally, I think it was somebody just said, dude, you need to leave, and then people will follow you out. And I was like, all right, that's a good idea.
I can move.
Right? I'll tell you what, those beer pong people were lining up.
Is that what was going on?
Yeah, that's why they had, like, a sign-up sheet. They always jump off on there on Saturday night.
Taking it seriously.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk a little Cage Sport MMA coming up. Talon, obviously, you're fighting again. You're towards the end of the night. I want to say you're like third from last. I was looking at the fight card.
I believe so.
All right.
That is what people have told me.
obviously, the first standard question I always have is, how's the weight cut going?
This is probably the toughest weight cut I've had in, well, for sure my pro career, which is, you know, this will be my fourth fight, but probably 6 fights deep, this is the toughest weight cut I've had. I'm aware that I'm about 10 pounds heavier than I would normally be around this time.
Is that a time of year or just something, or just not coming off?
Temperature?
No, I think it has to do with just the fact that I fought, cut that weight, and then immediately was back in training camp for this fight with very little time off. Like, I took 1 week to sort of recover and then went right back into it. But, you know, my weight cut's usually really easy, and so this one being harder, it's not the end of the world. I'm just sort of spoiled and used to how smoothly everything runs, and now I'm having a little bit of difficulty, and it's frustrating.
What are the big secrets? Because, I mean, like, we have friends, mutual friends, that all go different places and fight, and I see sometimes it'll be like the day of the weigh-in, like 5 pounds to cut, no biggie. So, I mean, is that just sauna stuff? Is there other tricks?
Water loading is a big thing. That's probably, that's correct.
clean the pipes.
Right there.
Yeah. All right. Well, explain to me, like, when you say water loading, that seems like the opposite of trying to get all the water out of you.
So your body does this weird thing when it's not hydrated, it won't sweat. Whoa. So what you do is you trick it into believing that it's going to be perfectly hydrated. So for a week to a week and a half for myself, I'll drink 2 gallons of water every day. Normally I'm drinking a gallon of water or so every day, but when it comes to near fight time, it's 2 gallons for sure every day. And so what that'll do is my cells are totally loaded up with water. My body's ready to start sweating. If I do anything, I'm gonna start sweating. And even when I start to become pretty damn dehydrated in the sauna, my body, I think, hasn't recognized that yet and will continue to sweat for longer.
All right. All right. Well, that makes more sense. Yes, I always heard the term, like, water loading. I'm just like, I don't understand how that works.
Can I just say, I average about a gallon or so a day, and that, I can't imagine 2 gallons a day.
That's insane.
Like, most people, when I say a gallon a day, they look at me like I'm insane. And the thought of doubling that is just like overwhelming to even think about.
Yeah, so, you're going to pee a lot.
I already do.
Yeah, he's not going to make it. By the end of the podcast, he'll be back there dancing.
Yeah, every time. And I peed right beforehand.
Yeah.
Do you have to worry about like salt and magnesium and potassium and stuff when you're taking in that much water?
Yeah. For some guys, they cut out their salt completely.
Wow.
Because they think that it causes them to hold on to water and that it's going to make their weight cut harder.
That's true. Well, I think so.
I don't think it's healthy to completely cut out your salt or potassium. So I still have some, although less. And then I lose a ton of it when I cut weight in the sauna. So then right after weigh-ins, those are my first thoughts is electrolytes, salts, amino acids, and a ton of water.
What are your favorite sources of those?
Pedialyte, because I'm used to it. Coconut water. Sometimes I mix them together.
Dude, it's a family show. Can't be out here wild out in these streets drinking Pedialyte and coconut water together. Yeah, damn, man.
Yeah, I get pretty wild and crazy.
Young Dennis Rodman.
Right? What's in that champagne flute? You don't want to know.
Oh, man, me and this was a while ago. This is a couple years ago, but I fought on a show way up north. Me and Marcus Mendoza, we fought on the same show together. We had to share a hotel room. He's a good buddy of mine. And we're both drinking Pedialyte because we just weighed in. And the room came with these complimentary champagne glasses and like an ice bucket. So we did it up. We made it look like we were
drinking
rainbow champagne. We were not.
Pre-fight rainbow champagne. I like it.
It is funny, because I got to tell you, like, and Matt knows this, I'm sure, but like in the music world, like a lot of bands put Pedialyte on their riders because you've been partying in the town the night before. You show up on the bus and like people need to hydrate as quickly as they can.
Yeah, there's some people in the music industry who do like IVs and stuff.
Yeah.
And I know there's a DJ who I won't say, but he does two bottles and one of them is Grey Goose and one of them is just water. And so people think he's like drinking Grey Goose. Sometimes he is. Sometimes he's drinking water.
Dude, I haven't heard that one, but I think we're talking about the same person, right?
You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah. I heard the stories about the IVs, which
I
is
have
just
no
insane.
Idea what you guys
and
are talking
vitamin
about.
And vitamin B, really intramuscular smart. Vitamin B injections.
Basically, like this person, they would get like IVs during the day to like load up and then go out at night and drink.
Dude, so yeah, that works.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a wild thing, but it's funny you bring up. I'm just saying, like, it's because in the like, if you're a drinker, like Pedialyte's like the secret there too. Like, dude, it's a Sunday, you better start drinking Pedialyte.
While we were talking about this, I was like, that's one of the things I miss about drinking. It's like I would just drink Pedialyte afterwards.
Being hungover and then
if you don't drink and you're like, well, hydrate and eat your vegetables, can you still just drink Pedialyte because it tastes good?
Oh yeah,
it's
not bad for you.
Now that they found out it's a hangover cure, they've upped the prices.
Oh, okay.
It's like $4.69 a bottle, man.
Capitalism at work.
Mm-hmm. That sucks. What if I had a sick baby and $3?
Yeah.
Dude, exactly. Oh, so what's that? That's all me now as a boozer because I like to drink Pedialyte.
That blood's on your hands, Ted Smith.
I got a sick baby. Sorry. I got a fucking wicked hangover.
Driving up prices.
An animal, man.
Excuse me, miss. Are you getting grape for your baby? Because that's my flavor.
Speaking of which,
you drink grape?
Yeah.
Dude, that was my favorite. That's what I'm sitting
my
here.
Dog too.
So I'm sitting here salivating about.
Yeah, clear is the worst. Strawberry is like, you know, second worst.
What are you going with, Talon?
I'm going with mixed berry every time.
Mixed berry,
not fruit punch. Mixed berry.
Mixed berry, even with coconut water.
Yeah.
Straight or with coconut water.
Living. I love that.
Don't knock it. You got to try it.
No, I'm telling you, I'm going to try it Friday. I have like my last like big workout with my trainer for the year, and I'm like, I'm going to go to the store afterwards.
That's what I'm saying. I want to get it for the house so I can make drinks when people come over.
Dude, my favorite pro tip, just in case people don't know, is with the Pedialyte cap. So if you buy the store brand, you got to fight your way into the bottle. But with the Pedialyte cap, you can turn it over, and there's a little razor cutter piece of plastic on the top, and you just spin it around, and it opens that little seal for you. So if anyone didn't know that, there you go.
Yeah, I mean, that when I lived in Belltown, that Rite Aid down there in Belltown, like there's not a ton of babies in Belltown, right? It's like downtown Seattle. But on Sundays, man, you see a lot of dudes in that Pedialyte aisle. Side note, almost ironically, Rite Aid has great prices on beer and wine.
And are you guys, I know the UFC outlawed IVs, right? Is that true?
Yeah, I heard that as well.
What's that about?
Probably trying to get people to slow down and stop cutting so much ridiculous amounts of weight. If they don't have the IV available to them, they're less likely to take the risk, I'm assuming is the logic.
Oh, okay. All right.
I mean, we've talked about this. That was always like the one knock on GSP. Was that?
Was he doing IVs?
No, it was just that he cut so much weight, right? Because he never went up to 185 to fight like Anderson Silva. And he dominated, what was he at? What's that, 177?
I don't think it was 185 that he didn't want. I think it was Anderson Silva he didn't want.
Well, I'm just saying, that's the one thing I've heard about is like that GSP always was like famous for these like ridiculous weight cuts every fight.
But that's the thing, though. That's part of the fight, too, you know? Like, that's a skill set in and of itself, because a lot of guys can't cut that much weight. You know, it takes a lot of discipline.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to say this, you're here. Like, sometimes I think maybe have rules on how much people can cut. But then does that make it just wild weight divisions?
1FC, this basically the UFC of like Southeast Asia, they have different weight divisions, and I believe that they do same-day weigh-ins, and they also do like random weight checks on everyone that they have under contract. So you're not allowed to get too much heavier than your actual weight class, and you have to actually fight at that weight. And I like that idea. I think it would be cool if the UFC and American promotions started doing that. It would take the weight cutting aspect away, and weight cutting is really like the least healthy part of the sport. It's the thing that causes the most damage.
I could see that.
Yeah, and I think to most people, right, if you just casually watch these fights, but I mean, when I found out what most of these guys walked around, I was like, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah, way bigger than you think.
Yeah.
To use your own line against you, in my opinion, the separation is in the preparation.
That's a Russell Wilson line.
I know, but he used it on the cast like a year ago, probably.
My favorite is I used that once grabbing a condom. I was like, in no way is Russell Wilson endorsing this random hookup.
Here's the thing, man. You had it right there in your nightstand or
it came prepared.
Your duffel bag or whatever you're up to.
Yeah.
Did the girl appreciate the Russell Wilson reference in that moment?
I giggled. She kind of was like, what? And I was like, don't sweat it.
Don't get up.
Don't change your mind.
Right? Like, right? We all know those are crucial seconds we're dealing with there, right?
That's what I'm saying.
It is. Yeah.
Chill out. It's not weird.
Yeah. But it was like, I just kind of leaned over. It was like separation is the preparation.
That is a critical moment.
Yeah. Right? Like, you can't have too much chit-chat going on when you're trying to put on the jacket. We were talking
in some pillow talk out of Utah. Classic.
We were talking before the cast about people that tap or don't tap. So obviously in training, people tap. And I think there's some honor, I guess, old school, and like people that don't tap. But if you're getting choked out, like, who's the loud British dude? Bisping?
Yep, Michael Bisping.
Right. So the last, like, I saw him and he just kind of went to sleep because he was getting choked out. But I feel like when people, if somebody's got you in an arm bar and they're going to break your arm, like, tap.
Some people don't tap.
Yeah, you gotta find the spot and draw the line. I don't know. I've never been in a joint submission in a fight to know the experience to speak on it, but I have been in chokes. I was in a choke in my last fight, and I thought I was going to go to sleep and I didn't tap. I don't think you have to tap on a choke if, you know, the ref is there to protect you, I guess. He might not. I've seen that happen. But in my mind, if it's like a choke, if there's any possibility at all that I'm still getting out of this, I'm not going to tap.
I'm with you. I feel like on a choke, you like you hopefully ride it out. I don't know. I feel like on TV, I've seen some people like ride out some crazy deep chokes.
Yeah, I mean, defending chokes and actually being choked and being able to stay alive in there, I think is a skill that you can actually develop. And you know, you're not going to die. You're probably not going to die. So
probably not.
Yeah. If the referee is a complete moron and leaves you in there to die, you might, but you're 99% not going to die. So just fight it, man.
Can I ask one nerd question? How does insurance work on something like this?
I don't tell them.
I don't know. No. What I mean is, like, does the fight promoter carry insurance, or like you guys are on your own?
The fight promoter carries insurance that is good for that night. Also, in my last fight, I got cut open, and the fight doctor actually gave me stitches that night, just hooked me up. It was pretty awesome.
Nice. That's old school, man. I love that stuff.
That's old school.
So for professionals, for the most part, they have insurance for that night, like they should. Fighting as an amateur, and I fought as an amateur for a long time, only ever once was there insurance for the night.
Huh.
Wow. Well, I mean, look, that's one of the giant issues, right?
Yeah, I mean, and you're not even getting paid, so you watch you get a massive concussion and a big laceration in your face, and you got to go to the emergency room and pay them with the money that you just did not earn a second ago.
Yeah, right? That seems wild that's even allowed. But
amateur fighting is the Wild West.
Yeah. Which is funny because I like watching pro fights, but I'm like, maybe I should go watch some amateur fights.
Dude, you were talking 2 days ago about throwing a smoker in your backyard.
Not my backyard, but I am thinking about putting one together.
Dude. Let me know. I'll come
down.
You
need to know these things.
Yeah. It went from me trying to set up a fight, like a backyard promotion, to like the guy, one of the guys I was putting the fight together with by the end of the night was like, dude, I don't remember agreeing to that. I was like, we did that shot of Jameson.
I've already sold tickets.
And then it's turned into, all right, we'll just have a smoker and have a little three, like, I told people 1 minute rounds, three rounds, right? Because most people don't know what the hell they're doing.
That's so horrible. They're just going to swing bombs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's in a backyard, dude. We need some excitement.
Yeah.
And every time somebody gets knocked out, we shoot off a firework.
We're gonna need a Ted. I'm gonna need a shaky camcorder out there too.
Yeah.
If it's a backyard fight, you gotta have the shaky camcorder.
Yeah, but can you imagine that somebody gets knocked out? Like, dude, light off the candle.
Light it.
He's still unconscious.
The production value here is great.
Sal just lighting it with the barbecue.
If you wake up to the sound of a boom, stay down, son.
Just stay down.
It's over.
It's like, who's the ref? Like. I don't know. You know what, hell, I'll ref it.
We're gonna draw straws.
Right? Don't tap, son. I'm not letting you out of this ring.
Be a man.
Yeah, Tal, I didn't really think about that. Now I'm setting up a smoker with 1 minute rounds for three rounds just boxing. These people are just gonna be wailing on each other.
No, yeah, they're getting concussed.
What kind of coverage you got, Ted?
I have zero. These are amateur fights, dude. So no money involved and no insurance.
I did one smoker where we had 90-second rounds, and it was just that. We swung bombs at each other, waited for the bell. I listened to my corner, but it's like, dude, what am I going to... I can't... I got 90 seconds. I'm going back out to swing more bombs.
Yeah, just swing bombs.
You didn't take time to set it up. Like, it's a 90-second round.
No, the ring was all small. There was nowhere to go. We stood in front of each other and hit each other. The crowd loved it. It was stupid.
Yeah, I mean, I still would, like, obviously I'm not going to throw one. I would like to go to those events, but years ago I was in Montana and they're like, they're having a smoker tonight. And everybody's like, you should do it. And the last thing I was like, no, this is a dumb, dumb idea.
You should do it like you should be a participant?
Yeah.
Yeah, bad idea.
Yeah, it was real bad.
Especially in Montana, dude. Those guys' forearms are like tree trunks, man. Like,
yeah, but
those are like real bearded, like serious men out there. We're city slickers, man.
But between the two Justin, I'm the only one that had any actual experience like boxing.
That's
so
true.
So they just kept being like,
"Are you in Libby?"
Yeah,
dude, literally known for chopping. That's a logging town. Right, we did a tug of war.
It was logger days.
Yeah, we did a tug of war, four of us against four of them, and they cleaned us out. I mean, like laughably, three of them probably could have taken us.
Yeah,
they cut down trees and climb over them and stuff for a living. Man.
Yeah, but it is fun. Like, just the idea of sitting in, like, a dungy basement. Like, everybody's down there smoking. It's just amateur dudes boxing.
Should be commentating. Their forearm is like your neck, dude.
Tell
you're out of your depth.
You're so a fighter, so that doesn't seem exciting to you. It's just somebody's a fan. I'm like, oh, I love this. And it's like a room full of smoke and cigar smoke that I got to go fight in. Like, yeah.
That's where the name for the exhibition smoker, that's where that came from, actually.
Yeah.
They used to shove a whole bunch of guys into one room, and everybody back then was smokers, so the whole room would get full of smoke. Call them smokers.
Yeah, I mean, even my high school, we don't have fights there, but we have the night before Thanksgiving, it's called the smoker. But, like, now they're like, yeah, like, there is no smoking indoors. And, like, all the old school guys are like, you gotta be shitting me. Like, we used to smoke this all the time. It's like, it's almost 2019. Like, we can't smoke indoors.
I say let them smoke them if you got them on smoker night at DeMatha.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at on that.
Yeah. Old school, man. That's the fun stuff. All right. We always got to ask you, what are we expecting out of you? You know, finish, choke, knockout, just looking for a W?
I always am looking for a W, but like I said before, I'm looking for a finish. With this next guy, I was telling you guys earlier, as we were talking before the show, I don't think he's a quitter. I think he's a tough dude, so I don't think that he'll allow me to just put him away with something easy or quit on me. So I'm excited to fight him. I'm excited. His name's Kevin Boehm. My plan is to finish him, either by strikes or by submission. I'm aware that it'll be tough, so that's actually, you know, that's more exciting for me.
And what do you think he's going to come at you with?
I think he's going to come at me with a straight line tactic. I think he pushes forward and throws at somewhat of a long range because he's pretty tall. Punches, kicks, knees.
All right, and then standard last question. After the fight, what are we looking forward to? Beverage, certain type of food?
Definitely going out with the whole gym. We're going to go get some wings, but then I am already planning my breakfast in bed from Denny's because I'm aware that now Uber Eats will deliver Denny's to my house. So Sunday morning, it's going to be pancakes on delivery and me answering the door of my boxers to receive the
I'm glad you brought that up. Goodness. There's a giant debate going on right now between pancakes and waffles.
I don't know where I stand.
Yeah, Scott Van Pelt brought this up on SportsCenter the other day. I mean, look, I'm with SVP. Pancakes
are a classic.
But it's a soggy mess. I mean, the waffle is just a superior breakfast item.
Dude, you can put fried chicken on waffles.
Yeah. But you can wrap sausages in pancakes.
Ooh.
I mean, it's essentially...
Damn, Talon.
What we're talking about here is like Eggs Benedict versus scrambled eggs. Eggs Benedict is objectively like the nicer, you know, more high-class meal. But you're only going to eat that like on a Sunday brunch type thing. You're not having that as your daily go-to. Where pancakes, more of a workhorse. I mean, it rolls up its sleeves, spits on its hands, and it goes to work. The blue-collar breakfast. So I go pancakes, even though your point stands. Waffle, nicer, more elegant, airy. But the pancake... workhorse.
I like where you're going with this.
Going cakes.
The waffle, you can just like cut it up like pizza slices and eat it with your hands. I don't like silverware.
I think so has anyone here ever been to a Waffle House?
Yeah.
Okay.
Obsessed with it. I mean, yes.
They don't exist up here, and I haven't been back to one since the first time, and oh my God, those waffles. Mm-hmm. So if it's Denny's pancakes versus Waffle House waffles, it's Waffle House waffles every fucking time. 100%.
Yep.
But have you ever been to Black Bear Diner?
No, I've heard about it for years, too.
No.
The greatest, creamiest, fluffiest, best pancakes.
Where is it at again?
There's one, I believe, Federal Way. There's one in Puyallup.
All right, there's a few of them.
Yeah.
Looking it up right now. I mean, and Kyle, look, I get your point, right? Like, pancakes are there, but like, how many people are really getting up in the morning and slamming down a short stack? Like, I don't think that's happening. I think most people are only, if you have children, you're obviously making pancakes. But I think if you're going out, and you're right, I would, when my mom was in town, we had breakfast together like 4 days in a row. And I got scrambled eggs every time, except on Sunday where I got the Eggs Benedict.
Thank you. Dude, here's all I'm saying. It's like, when, like, pancakes are stable. Like, when you broke up with your girlfriend, what'd you have for breakfast? Pancakes were there. When you lost your job, what'd you have for breakfast? Pancakes were there. Where were waffles? They were waiting around until Sunday, maybe some weird sort of pseudo brunch with some friends that you don't know that well. That's what I'm saying. It's like pancakes, they show up. They're solid.
I really feel this, Cobb. When you put it like that, you're right. I have an emotional attachment to pancakes. It might not be that they're actually better than waffles, but I feel drawn to them like nostalgically.
Post-fight, win or lose, they're there for them.
If I'm crying, the pancakes are still coming to my door.
I'm just saying, like, sorry. Like, the waffle is so superior.
I agree.
Right?
I agree on a one-to-one basis. But you got to look at the lifespan.
I can't tell you the last time I ate a pancake. I think the last time might have been in Ocean City at the Dough Roller, and I was like, oh, screw it. I'm getting banana pancakes. And I was just like, I should have got a waffle.
That's because you've been on a hot streak lately. Things have been going well for you. But when the dark times come, Ted, you want pancakes in your corner, okay?
I feel like if I lost my job or my girlfriend or something, I'd be like sitting there. If it was one of those two things, it'd be frozen Eggos. Like, I wouldn't even put them in a toaster.
What is wrong with you?
Sitting there, just like... That was just a picture that popped in my head.
Just hear me out, blue-collar pancake people.
All right.
Is that if pancakes are the working man's pancakes, why is it when I stay at a hotel, whether high-end or low-end, they give you a crummy little hotel, they have the waffle maker in there. It's not like waffle batter is so, like, so expensive.
I think it's because I think it's the same reason that they have like that cheap tile in the bathrooms, you know, or like in Vegas, how they make the hotels seem so nice, so you spend more money. It's like pseudo nice, like faux nice, and I feel like they're like, oh, throw a waffle maker, and that'll make them feel like they're French and they're wealthy, and they'll spend more money on the vending machine, you know, that's always messed up, so you got to go two floors down.
I mean, look, now that you say French, let's be honest, I take French toast probably out of all 30 of them.
French toast.
Right? Yeah, Scott Van Pelt brought this up, and I was like, this is a real deal. Like, I'm with them, Team Waffles. But, like,
yeah,
people
too.
Like pancakes. And I can't decide if your argument is, like, pancakes, just this girl I've been dating for 10 years. Like, yes, I'll stay with her.
No.
Like, or if it's, like, I ventured out and dated a waffle, and now it's like, come back to the pancakes.
He always comes home to me.
Right? Yeah, he might be out there dancing with you and sucking a little syrup, but he comes home to pancakes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
French toast?
Stability, that's the argument for pancakes.
Thoughts on that?
Oh, I love French toast.
And then I'll stop.
Can we just talk about stuffed French toast for a second? Can we talk about that?
Talking IHOP?
Oh, man. The first time
I ever had... What is it stuffed with?
You can stuff it with, like, jellies, like, fruits. Mm-hmm. You can stuff it with Nutella.
Or cottage cheese, I want to say.
Sometimes it's almost like a frosting. No, it's stuffed with, like, a frosting or, like, a Cool Whip, almost.
Oh, that would be good, too.
They do, like, a whipped cream cheese. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah. Dude. I don't know if I put cottage cheese inside of French toast. And I like both separate, but that's a stoner moment. Oh, f*** it.
I was thinking about this the other day about how it would just be really nice if you could choose between the three of these things for dessert at places. If that was just like a common thing. Because there's a lot of times in the morning where I'm like, no, I actually want some eggs and some vegetables and some sustenance. But this would be great at 10:30 tonight. When no diner, you know, a lot of diners aren't going to be open.
Dude, I'm with you, right? So that's the other issue, too. As much as I talk about, like, a French toast or a waffle, I almost always get eggs or eggs because I'm just like, oh, it's the morning time. I need some eggs.
Yeah.
I will take eggs overall over any breakfast food. Scrambled, poached.
I love eggs.
Yeah, however you cook them up, eggs are the best.
That's the true staple of breakfast foods.
Yeah.
Boil them, souffle them.
Yeah. Hey, maybe it's just egg whites. Point is, egg is there. Mm-hmm. He's like, take out my middle section. I don't care. I still support you. All the protein's in the white part.
Yeah, but if your girlfriend dumps you, you're not, like, comforted by eggs. They're just there with you.
That's a solid point, Talon.
Eggs are supporting you. Oatmeal, you know?
Yeah. And if I get dumped, I'm going straight back to pizza. If I get dumped. Like, you don't even have a girlfriend.
Right. As your nutrition coach, I approve that.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, dude, but as you said it, it really hit home. I was like, yeah, man, we all know he's right. Cold pizza. I got to do some cold-ass pizza. I'll dry
There's
it up.
There's three men back in my life. Pagliacci, Ben, and Jerry. all right. We talked about the squatty potty. What else am I going to bring up? Nothing much. You know what? I got the new couch coming. We'll talk about that later. We talked about the party. Thank you again. And Talon is fighting this Saturday, Cage Sport MMA, down at the Emerald Queen Casino. You can go to Ticketmaster.com or go to the Emerald Queen website to get those tickets. And remember, get in there early. Parking's always a little tough. And, man, Saturday, like, this is our last show before Christmas for the year. This is usually, like, a fun show. Me and Saul will be down eating a fancy steak before we go. I'll probably just be like, Talon, good to see you, man. I can't speak right now. all right, Cobb, you want to read some emails?
Yeah, let's do it. I just wanted to put in my two cents about the Apple Cup. Been a Huskies fan my entire life, and as far as I've been able to tell, the battle lines are drawn from childhood. When I was in elementary school, they'd put pit Huskies fans and Cougs fans against each other. As a 30-year-old man, that's literally decades of rivalry put into me from the last generation, and I hope to one day put that into my own kid. Love the podcast. Go Dogs.
All right. Yeah, like I always say, for me, it's easier on that one. I'm not from here. But I went through it recently with a friend of ours who we all like very much as a Timbers fan. And it's just, it's very hard to cheer for them.
But yeah, well, I mean, yeah, I know exactly who you're talking about, and I was cheering for the Timbers on Saturday because of her.
Yeah, what's up, Jen?
Thanks for coming out.
Yeah, that was awesome.
What up, fellas?
Oh, and we have an update.
From what?
From the Black Bear Diner. I clicked on their website. The first picture you see... You know what? I'm going to back off. First picture I saw was Eggs Benedict, but then it looks like there's a bear holding pancakes.
They do have very good Eggs Benedict, and they also have... Man, why am I endorsing these guys so hard?
Are they one of your sponsors?
They don't pay me, guys.
What up, fellas? Cobb, you mentioned something in the last cast or two that piqued my interest. Are you a purveyor of fine domain names? Yes. If so, maybe you could extend some knowledge to a noob. Your boy who's at $12 is the proud owner of... bangbrus.com. B-R-U-H-S for people out there. Apparently, it's some adult site. I don't know, couldn't tell you, but the name really sells itself. Hell of a lot more clever than some of the names names people see out there, so I'm told. Anyway, thanks for the feedback on the Instapot crockpot struggle. Although you guys provided no help whatsoever, you guys will be happy to know that I went with the slow cooker and probably marched my ass down to the butcher on the corner for 3 pounds of pork shoulder. I cooked that bitch all day last Monday, but I must have left some key ingredients out of my pulled pork masterpiece. It was barely edible. As you can imagine...
How did you mess that up?
Well, a couple things, but finish the email.
As you can imagine, I was more than disappointed. Then I set off the fire alarm trying to toast buns, and it didn't stop until the landlady came up, and I looked like a fucking moron. It's been in the fridge now for 2 weeks, so I finally put it in the freezer to reduce the chance of puking when I throw it out. Honestly, I've considered parting with the whole pot entirely, just to avoid that. Anyway, back to Luigi's Pizza and other fine dining while spreading the word down in San Diego. Thanks for the laugh, and thanks for the laughs, and as always, have a good one.
All right, so first of all, if you're going to cook a pork shoulder in your crock pot, you need to always remember to have the fat cap on top, right? I mean, even if you're just smoking it. So, like, you know, there's always going to be that thick layer, that's what you call it, like the fat cap or whatever. So that's got to be on top. So as everything cooks, it renders down through the meat. So I'm guessing, number one, he probably had that on the bottom.
And then all the fat is just underneath it. And
yeah,
not,
and the meat's going to stay all just rough. I mean, you got to remember, like, that's the other thing. When you barbecue stuff, these are generally bad cuts of beef or pork. That's why you cook them for all these hours. Number two, I would say, rub that bitch down the day before and then put it in your fridge in foil. You can find a spice blend. I mean, just go to any grocery store and you can find like a something rub to put on there. And then when you cook it, you can cook it on high for like the first hour. Put a little moisture in there. I usually put onions in the bottom, but then you got to cook that thing legit for like 10 hours. Because I even screwed up the one I cooked a little bit.
That was really insightful. I honestly have never thought about putting the fat on the top of anything I've cooked ever.
What?
That's a great call.
That is the most important thing when you cook it like a pork. Like, you can't, you know what? That's my fault. I probably just like, yeah, man, you just load it in there and it's great. Like, you need to have a little moisture in there for it, and you need to have the fat cap on top.
In fairness, a couple pork roasts ago, I was having my mother over, and she opened up the crock pot and she saw that I forgot to put the fat cap on top, and she berated me for like 30 minutes. So that is a mistake that is totally makeable. I've done that myself. So
yeah,
totally a thing that you could do.
But that's why he ended up with that bad stuff.
So don't throw out the cooker.
Don't throw out the cooker, dude. And yeah, the other thing too is like you're trying to start out, you know, with a pork shoulder. Start with something simple. Like literally just go get a tenderloin and throw it in there with some sauerkraut and again, like some beer or a little bit of liquid or a broth. I mean, just start with like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you need a confidence builder, buddy.
Or just do my easiest one. Get some boneless, skinless thigh, some boneless, skinless breast. Throw them in your crock pot, a jar of your favorite salsa. Shout out to San Juan salsa. Always delicious. Mm-hmm. And then 8 hours. So when you come home, it smells on low. Mm. 8 hours on low. But when you come home, I always say it smells like a woman, like an old lady's just been in there cooking this stuff. And then you can literally just shred the chicken. Then if you want to make tacos, make tacos. You want to put it on a salad, put it on a salad. Maybe you just want to shovel in chicken and some beans. Not that I would ever do that, but...
Yeah. No need to juice it from half court right out the gate, man.
Yeah.
Hit some layups, build up the confidence.
Yeah, don't sell that crock pot, dude. You're going to learn to love it. Or it's going to love you.
Hey, boys. Love the podcast and the men's room. You guys make delivering for FedEx much easier. Your insights on life has gotten me through some tough times. So thank you for that. Keep on doing what you guys do. LARP on. James the FedEx guy.
Nice. Thanks, James. I appreciate that. Yeah.
To the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
Just wanted to say thank you for setting up a fun little gathering for us to meet up. I had a great time to meet with other listeners, but more importantly, to meet Mr. Cobb, the CEO MCTP, and seeing the man, the Ted Smith, again. You guys seem like a great bunch of dudes, and you proved that to be correct on Saturday. I look forward to the next time I get the opportunity to chill with you and your listeners. Maybe next time we can indulge in some extracurricular activities. Thanks again for being so welcoming and giving us the opportunity to have more, have that more intimate setting to know and be known. LARP on. Chansey.
All right.
Yeah, I remember Chansey. Great to meet you. Yeah, that was a great time. Thanks for saying that. Extracurriculars, where were you? I was outside like six different times.
Right. It's like, I was pretty sure we were smoking weed the whole time.
I certainly was.
You guys smoke weed?
What?
Once in a while. Is that
That's
it?
What they meant by extracurriculars?
Yeah, I got a little worried there.
It could have been some sort of a...
That's what I had to assume.
When then they said intimate setting, and I was like,
It was a group sex thing?
Oh, wow. That ratio was not in my liking.
Easy, boys.
I thought maybe it was more... I don't know. We get to enough things.
I thought it was a weed-smoking reference.
I'm not sure it was just a weed. Like, I'm not... I think it was a drug reference. I'm just not positive which drug they were referencing.
We're into a lot of extracurriculars on this show, okay? We get a lot of activities outside of school. You have to be more specific.
Right, like, we're all trying to get into college. We're involved in a lot of groups and a lot of clubs. Looks better on the transcript. All right, let's check in with Matt.
Hey,
what's good? What's Matt?
Before we get to what Matt means... Check out with what's Mattening.
Well, I'd say the podcast party was the highlight of the weekend. How could it not be? All those people coming out and showing support for what I've been working on for a lot of years of my life on Tuesdays at 6:30. That's pretty awesome. Yeah. And, yeah, it was just really cool. A couple of the highlights for me were, well, first of all, we got to give thank you to the Reverend Fuego and his wife, Michelle, for hosting a hell of an after party at their bar. That was, well, they have a house with a bar in it. But
yeah.
That's where we're
I tried to turn it into an after party.
You did a great job.
Yeah.
You did a terrible job leaving.
Yeah, right?
You did a great job. Oh.
Running around. Talon, if I go anywhere and there's a bar in the basement, I just want to get back there and start making drinks for people. I get very excited.
It was incredible. So that was a ton of fun. While we were there, you had me roll a spliff, and I got a compliment on the, you know, my technique and my focus from George, who is just like a very sharp, detailed dude, and I didn't realize how much I appreciated that compliment until I was rolling another spliff later, and I was like, man, like, I think I roll spliffs all right, but to get a compliment on it from George, who was like, you know, former Marine and just a very dialed in dude, I was like, man, that means a lot. He doesn't actually smoke weed, but
no. Like,
and that made it more cool too. Like, he doesn't even smoke weed, and he just game recognizes game. Like, that was awesome. Yeah,
I got another buddy like that, and he's like, he'll just sit there and like watch me smoke or watch, but like for certain reasons he can't smoke, and he's like, yeah, I don't care, it's legal, it's cool,
enjoy. Yeah, so that was cool. Also, Lance was there. I've talked about him a million times, but seeing him, I got to give him a shirt. He's been on my, he just graduated my nutrition program, 54 pounds down, and that shirt was a large slim fit, and he put it on and it was still like roomy on him.
Yeah, it fit him great.
It was just like, that was so cool. I bought that for him like over the summer and thought like he could probably fit into it now. And he just waited and waited and waited. And then, yeah, I finally got to give it to him there. And that was, yeah, that was really cool. So those are just a couple of like the personal like highlights behind the scenes. Everyone else that I got to talk to just had like so many awesome things to say. It was overwhelming and tough to keep track of.
There was a couple there, right? I was talking to about Burning Man. And then they're like, oh, Lance is here.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, Lance is like a friend of mine. And they're like, oh, yeah, we know him from Burning Man. Because they stated do more now. And I was like, yeah. Like,
a lot of people knew Lance. They're like, you're Lance? Oh, yeah. I guess we do talk about him a lot. But, yeah, that was, I mean, it was really cool to connect everyone. I was really pleased with myself that I remembered as many names as I did.
It's tough.
But, I mean, from people that showed up, people whose names I got that day, I don't know how many of them I remember now. Probably like 50%, which is still pretty good. But of the people that were there, I already knew like 70, 80% of their names from like interacting either online or at past parties or whatever, or different station events or local shows. So yeah, that made it easy because as we were going in, we were like sweating the name thing because it was a lot. But yeah, that was just a hell of a great time. The night before that, we also went down south. My girlfriend got her hair cut at her friend's house. That was fun. And then we went to Sherry's afterwards. All that pancake, I had chicken and waffles there, but all that pancake and waffle talk just got me thinking about how good that place was. Tyler got a like strawberry cannoli that was basically like, it was like pancakes wrapped up with like custard and strawberry filling. It was like too sweet for me.
That's sweet.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
I didn't know you had a sweetness level.
I didn't either. And I was like, I'm good. I'll stick with my chicken and waffles. I did get a peanut butter chocolate pie milkshake. They put they turned slices of their pie into milkshakes there. It's fucking crazy, guys. 2018 America's.
I gotta quit hanging out with you guys while I cut weight.
Yeah, no kidding. we'll start bringing you in like after the victories.
Oh man.
Well, that's like when I hang out with Drew now, we go get food afterwards.
Yo, speaking of Drew, total unbroken segue. I was just training with him the other day, and he knew you guys were in Tacoma, and he told me that he wanted to like invite you to come down, check out the gym, get some training.
He did,
in.
And I don't think Matt or I texted him back. God damn it.
Was that for that day?
Yeah.
We were going to do it?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
That's why when you just said that, I'm like, yep, I need to text Drew back.
Yeah. y'all come down. I want to go, too. We'll train together.
All right.
Oh, that'd be so fun. Yeah. I was texting with Drew about it the other day, and he's like, we could do it individually. And I was like, I want to go with my boys. Like, I don't want to go down there one-on-one. I want to go with Ted and Cobb.
Yeah, I'm thinking bring, like, the whole squad on Saturday.
It'd be fun to do a little bit of, like, sparring in gloves just to see how hilariously outmatched we are. Yeah. You know, I feel like as a man, everyone's like, yeah, man, I could take him. I could take him, like, constantly, right? But, like, what's the weight difference on us? Probably 50 pounds. I'm 190, 195.
I'm walking around 160. So.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure you could drop me in a second. And so, like, that's what would be funny is, like, I'm like, if I saw you in a bar or something, I'd be like, yeah, I could probably kick that guy's ass. Like, zero chance, dude. Zero chance. Anybody who, like, I don't know. I feel like with most sports, like, anyone who's played the thing regularly can just absolutely embarrass anybody who hasn't.
Be good to get some nice ego checks.
Yeah, dude, it'd be fun to go down there.
Yeah, I mean, I'll whoop your guy's ass if you want it.
I'll ref. I'm down.
So, see, I am throwing a smoker.
At Ludasport.
Get your tickets, Ticketmaster.com.
That was mostly it. The podcast party was the main thing. Sunday was, you know, laid low. Went to the farmer's market, and, yeah, I just had a good time. But, I mean, it was mostly like, wow, I can't believe that many people came out, and I had so much fun, and it's great to see everyone.
Yeah. Talon and I promise, this is the last food store I'll tell. So we get all this food, and the guy that running the bar is kind of like, do you want any more food? And I go, no, we're good. And I go, we're going to be drinking a lot. Give me like an hour. And I'm like, an hour later, we need more of those little sliders. Round them up. All right, well, good. Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm sure Kyle mentioned it right. We can't say enough. It was a great time, but it's about that time.
Boop, doop, doop, boop, boop. Cobb topic.
Cobb topic.
Athleisure. Women in yoga pants. We've all seen them. We love it. My concern is that, all right, so I feel like on, with trends, there's a certain like story arc or parabolic curve where it's like, you know, there's the early adopters, people kind of get into the trend, you know, and then the trend sort of like, you know, moves down either like, I guess like the hierarchy of like how, you know, cool or fashionable or whatever people are, and then it goes away. My concern now, I'm seeing more and more people wearing yoga pants, and I'm worried that really attractive women who pioneered them are going to stop wearing them. So we started talking about athleisure and, like, you know, people wearing athletic gear out and about, and people are wearing it to more and more. It's becoming more and more widely accepted, restaurants, bars, what have you, where previously people would be like, oh, that's workout gear. It's like, well, now there's this sort of in between category of athleisure. So The question I was thinking about is, like, there's some restaurants you could wear athleisure to and some that you pretty clearly can't. My question is, where do you draw the line on athleisure?
And Olive Garden.
To elaborate a little bit, well, so that's the thing. It's like, I would consider wearing soccer pants to an Olive Garden. But, like, would I wear them to, like, a Yard House? I don't know. And I think that the line maybe is, like, somewhere between, like, a Outback Steakhouse and, like, a Cheesecake Factory. I'm not really sure. Anyway, where do you guys draw the line on athleisure?
I don't think it matters on the restaurant as much. Like, obviously, if you're going to, like, a higher-end steakhouse, you can't wear athletic gear. But to me, it's all about, like I have a specific pair. You've seen them. Like, those black sweats that have, like, a thick taper on the bottom, and it's like they got, like, little stars on them or whatever. They're kind of fancy sweats. So, like, brunch, I'll rock those out. But I wear them with, like, Fresh Kicks and, like, a dope new hoodie. So it's like, I could go to almost any restaurant on Sunday morning in that, I feel, or Sunday afternoon in that.
Where do you draw the line?
I think I would just go steakhouse, but I don't know, man.
Anything below steakhouse?
I think in my mind, the maximum.
Yeah, second.
I was trying to throw out a random one. What's up?
The maximum niceness to wear your, you know, athleisure, I think Olive Garden. I think Olive Garden is as nice as you can go.
Before you cross over
into the zone where you're a little bit inappropriately dressed.
Oh, okay.
That's probably right about the level. I was thinking Yard House, and yeah, right in that, because I feel like Red Lobster, you're good. But I feel like right as you get to like Buffalo Wild Wings, you're good, man. Wear your sweatpants in there.
It depends.
Like, I think it just depends on what your athletic gear looks like.
Even your best. Okay, let's say your best athletic gear.
Like, all right.
Girl, smoking hot yoga pants, you know. I don't know what they were on top, not a sports bra, t-shirt, something, whatever. And same with a guy. Like, where, you know, what's their upper limit? I think Olive Garden's got to be close.
I think you're right, though, because it kind of does depend on the person. Because if you look the part and you look real athletic or whatever, and you're in, like, a really nice, fancy restaurant, I think you can get away with wearing athletic gear more because you actually maybe gain a little bit of status by underdressing the occasion. You know what I mean?
I mean, Mark Zuckerberg wears the same damn hoodie and jeans every time I see him.
Would my standard attire...
I can't work out in jeans.
Would my standard attire fit the athleisure, or is it, like, even below that?
No, see, I think...
Because I'm constantly...
I would say that's athletic.
Okay.
Yeah, but if you wear it out, it's athleisure,
this is what I wear everywhere. Like, all these places we're naming, I'm like...
Yeah, but you're not going to Tokyo Steakhouse in that, are you?
Huh? I would... That's what I was saying, is, like, the steakhouse I haven't tried, but, like, I'm pretty, you know, I go places dressed like this.
Right, but not
and
everywhere.
And like you said, it's like, it might be inappropriate to some people, but to me, I'm like, I don't care. I'm here. I have money. Like, what are you going to do? But, like, I mean...
My point, though, is that you don't go everywhere. Like, last week, you were in a suit about to fire both of us.
I was going...
So you wouldn't have gone to that event in sweatpants.
Correct. But that's not even the line. I would say, yeah, steakhouses is probably the line. I mean, there's other nicer places that aren't necessarily a steakhouse. Like, what's the one on South Lake Union? Chowders.
Oh, yeah, there's good, like... Right, there's going to be good seafood places. I mean, you could be anything. It could be Thai food. It could be sushi.
First date?
First date, I wore...
Probably not.
Well, we went to Discovery Park and a Devil's Hunt Me Down show, but I wore cargo shorts and my old man shoes.
Cargo shorts are not athleisure.
Right. I mean, yeah, I guess I was kind of dressed up. I wasn't wearing gym shorts.
Oh, I gotcha.
So those are like a step up for me. But, yeah, I would say, I mean, like, I definitely go to, like, CPK like this or... I'd go to the Olive Garden like this for sure.
I think sometimes for me,
I'd go to Yard House
just
like this.
Sleeves as well. Like, everybody at our work wears t-shirts all the time, right? But like one day, one of the street teamers was filling in and he just had on a cutoff at the front desk. And they're just kind of like, dude, you can't sit at the front desk in a cutoff.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's like, if you want to walk around the office,
come
it's
on,
like,
man.
But you can't, like, sorry, you can't run the front desk in a cutoff t-shirt.
Yes.
I don't know, man.
What's up, bro? Welcome to KSW.
Your front desk guy told me that I couldn't get up to this floor because it was so secure, and I said, but that's where I'm going, and so he just let me up here. So I don't know. I don't know.
That's downstairs.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny.
He's like, oh, that's where you're going? Never mind. You're right.
Well, that took a lot of convincing.
Super secure.
How secure is it, really?
I'm just going to see the podcast. Yeah, we don't. Just go ahead.
You seem confident. We let him in.
Yeah.
I said I was coming to see Ted Smith. He looked at me and goes, who? No, he didn't do that.
Ted Smith, motherfucker. Yeah, I don't know, because I've been wearing sweats a lot more into places. Maybe I'm taking advantage. But I just feel like if they're tapered proper and you're wearing cool tennis shoes, it's like, all right, this guy's funny. Or he's got, it's not like I'm coming out just in like an old pair of Champion sweatpants I just rolled out of bed in.
Well, that makes me think of, what's it called, Forgetting Sarah Marshall, when he's like, so I can lay around all week in Sean John sweatpants and it's not a problem, but if they're Costco brand, somehow my life's falling apart.
Yes. Yeah.
Can I just take this opportunity to flawlessly segue into mentioning one of my own sponsors, Trapper Sushi, and just let all you guys know that the sushi chef who's making your all you can eat sushi all night is not going to judge you. You can wear whatever you want. You know,
I've definitely worn cutoffs to Trappers.
Right.
Yeah. I've spent a little time in there too.
It's not gonna. They're not going to spit in your sushi because you wore some yoga pants or some sleeveless shirts.
Athletes,
I also
welcome.
Think we got to remember Seattle is just completely different.
Yeah, that's true. It's right? Its own universe in terms of how dressed up people are.
Like, I mean, I went to a summertime wedding on the East Coast and just didn't wear a tie and caught a bunch of shit. Like, you're not going to wear a tie? Like,
well, dude, I caught shit for a vest.
Yeah.
Like, huh? Yeah.
And they're like, right, everybody's like real upset about
super
it.
Wait, for wearing a vest not wearing a vest?
For wearing a vest. And I took off my jacket to dance.
Wow.
Yeah, it was on Cape Cod. It was it's called the Chatham Bars Inn. It's just super ritzy, but it's like...
You really should be wearing a jacket while you dance.
Yeah, which is also exactly. Funny because everybody on Cape Cod just wears khaki shorts and like a polo all year round.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's
neither here nor there.
Yeah. But if you are on Cape Cod, you should go to Hyannis and go to Smith Family Popcorn and get yourself some popcorn.
Oh, yeah.
Good people. Great popcorn. All right, so there's 242 again. Come down to Cage Sport MMA this weekend. We can watch Talon fight. You can see me walk around in a cage and bark at people. Doors at 6. Fights start usually around 7. Get in there early. Talon, obviously, good luck. It's always fun to watch you guys fight. I'm excited to see Tim fighting as well right before you. And then other than that, as I say, next week will probably be our last one for the year.
Yeah, because we got Christmas and New Year's Day on Tuesdays.
Correct. And I have vacations. You know me. I'm not coming in.
We'll make next week count.
Next week should be good.
Smoke weed.
Next week will be a loose episode. Trust me. Your boy's going to... I'm going to be having
fun.
Not
like this one. Tight shit this week.
All right, so there's episode 242 for Cobb, or for MCTP for Cobb of the Ted Smith. This is the podcast. Cheers.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam, so you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved, home protected, bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.